Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, October 9th, 2013. We got lots of things to talk about today. The Federal Reserve today. We got Janet Yellen. We got the markets, all kinds of things going on. So please make sure you stay tuned. And if you have any comments or questions for today's program, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. We look forward to answering your questions and listening or hearing your comments. Let's get right to the gold market today. We have Alfred.
What?
I hear you. Gold today. Big swing in gold today. Right now we're looking at $13 to the downside at $13.06. We have silver down 43 cents today at $21.96. Platinum down 19 bucks today at $13.88. And palladium down 12 at $7.05. USDX today, of course, is trading higher, 0.35, not all that much higher, but 80.37. And, of course, crude oil, they hit that today, down $2. $2 for crude oil, 101.50. Paper markets today, with all the exciting news coming out, they did manage to have an up day in the markets. Let's see. Well, at least in two of them anyway. Excuse me. We have the Dow up 26 points at 14,803, along with the S&P was up basically unchanged at 1656, up 0.97, almost a full point. And the NASDAQ, that was the one that didn't manage an upside, was down 17 points at 36.77. The 10-year yield, again, right around that 2.65, not a lot of movement in that. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Al.
Yep, another interesting day.
Oh,
you know, it seems that they're going to, there are other people that have made the observation. It does appear that they're going to try to hold the line for the U.S. dollar index at 80.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and they're going to try to avoid it. It's been below 80 in the past. I think it's been down even close to 70. In the last couple of years, but it appears that they are determined to try to hold the line at 80.
Mm-hmm.
And when it falls below, they jack it back up. And when reality pushes it back down, they jack it back up. But it appears that's going to be one of their standards, at least for a while. We'll see how long they can hold that line. You know, you got cheerleaders. Maybe that's why Janet Yellen is going to be. Does she have any pom-poms or anything? Can she do any cheerleading?
Well, as old as she is.
Hold that line. Hold that line. All right? This is going to be interesting.
If she did, they probably have disintegrated already.
Well, I don't know. We get a 67-year-old cheerleader hollering, hold that line there in Washington, D.C. It should make for some must-see TV.
Actually, Al, I think there's a couple of things that they're trying to hold the line. I think the U.S. is one. The U.S. dollar is one. I think the stock market between, the close to the 15,000 level, I think that is one. I think holding gold around the 13 to 1350 level is another. So I think they found some sort of a balance to where they're keeping the market up and trying to keep the illusion going. So I think they're trying to manage all these different areas.
Should be on America's Got Talent.
They really should be. Well, yeah, I'll tell you.
We get a juggler on there trying to juggle all these balls at the same time and keep all these plates spinning and the rest of it. They belong on America's Got Talent, but we'll see if America's Got Talent can stay in business if the Federal Reserve starts dropping some of the plates.
Well, the way I see Janet Yellen is, she was picked. She will cater to their whims, and she will do what she's told to do, just like they all do. And I think of being a woman, she'll probably be more of one that they probably have a little more control over than Bernanke or Greenspan.
I don't know where you get this idea that women are so controllable, I mean, I think this is propaganda.
I think this is propaganda
that's put out by the National Women's Association, and I'm not sure who's responsible for this, but I don't think she will be. You know, we've got an article here that was written by Ambrose Evans Pritchard over in England on Janet Yellen, and he said the headline is "Rejoice, the Yellen Fed will print money forever to create jobs," and he talks about her qualifications among other things. First he says the Fed will be looser for longer, meaning they'll continue to pump out money. The Federal Open Market Committee will continue to print money until the U.S. economy creates enough jobs to reignite wage pressures and inflation, regardless of asset bubbles or collateral damage along the way. But he goes on, he says, no Federal Reserve chief in history has been better qualified. She is a glaring contrast to Alan Greenspan, a political speechwriter for Richard Nixon, who never earned a real Ph.D. Greenspan's Ph.D. was honorary, and penned an economic paper of depth. Janet Yellen's husband is Nobel laureate George Akerlof, the scourge of efficient market theory. She co-authored Market for Lemons, the paper that won the prize. So she didn't get the Nobel Prize. Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize for being half black. Janet Yellen did not get the Nobel Prize for economics, but her husband did, based in large measure on her contribution to his paper, Market for Lemons. So she's no dummy. Plus, she's not weak. She was junior governor of the Federal Reserve at one point, president of the San Francisco Fed at the other point, at another point, head of Bill Clinton's Council on Economic Advisors. According to Pritchett, you could hardly find a safer pair of their hands. And it says, note that she confronted Greenspan head on in 1996, pushing for preemptive rate rises to choke inflation and wean the economy off cheap credit. Then she clashed with New York Fed Chief William Dudley in December 2007 over the risk of subprime mortgage defaults. And Dudley was formerly with Goldman Sachs. Again, it's the point being, she's not going to be easily controlled. Mm-mm. All right, and this is a woman she does what she thinks is right, and my guess is she's going to do it. And she's been right, according to the Ambrose Pritchett article, she's been right a number of times. And if they had followed what she'd initially said, we might not have stumbled into the 2007-2008 recession.
It's one thing to make these calls and claims, prior to being in a position to where you can make the changes, but there's no way you can change my mind. Once they get into these positions, she will do what is right for the stock market. She will do what is right for Wall Street. She's got nothing to do with anything else. And I do believe in order to get these positions of power, she's basically the most powerful person in the world. You will do their bidding. The way you get into these places, your position is to make it seem like you're doing your own bidding, but in reality, you're doing the bidding of those in control. That's what I believe.
I disagree. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll watch and see. But she's not. She does not come to the table without a powerful intellect.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
almost certainly a determination to do what she thinks is right. And we'll watch and see how that unfolds. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But point here is, under Janet Yellen, we can expect quantitative easing to continue until unemployment is significantly reduced. But will quantitative easing work? Can the tail wag the dog? Deflation is the result, it's the symptom of low employment and therefore low demand for goods and services. Note the relationship. High unemployment causes low demand, which causes deflation. Deflation is what they're worried about. Deflation is a symptom of high unemployment. The Fed's QE policy, their quantitative easing policy, presumes that by causing monetary inflation, they will stop deflation and thereby cause employment to rise and unemployment to fall. The point is, they're treating the symptom, deflation, they're treating it monetarily just by pumping out more dollars, with the bet that if we pump out more dollars, we're going to end unemployment and we restore the economy. But what they're really doing is trying to treat the symptom rather than the cause. They are betting that that the tail can wag the dog. And so what I'm trying to say, I don't think that's necessarily so. I don't think the tail can continue to wag the dog. And this is part of the mentality that goes to controlling the markets. Virtually anyone who's studied the gold markets, I won't say anyone, but certainly I'll bet you 90% of the people who've looked into it, maybe more than that, believe that the markets have been manipulated over the past 15 years or so in order to hold down the price of gold. Now, if that's true, and the markets have been manipulated, and I think they have, if that's true, it's another illustration of a system that believes the tail can wag the dog. If they can make the market appear to value gold at a certain price, they can instill confidence in the dollar. They can maintain the system in the same sense that I can keep a room warm by coming up to the thermostat on the wall and I'll just hold a match under the thermometer on the thermostat. And if I do, it'll indicate that the temperature in the room might be 90 degrees, when in fact it might be freezing. They're betting that they can, that the tail can continue to wag the dog, and they can do it by manipulating the inflation rate, the unemployment rate, the market prices for things. And I'm saying, I don't think they can. I don't think it can continue inevitably, persistently. Yeah, the tail has wagged the dog. It's done it, no question. But can it continue? Because that dog is reality. And it's my contention that sooner or later that reality will intrude and you're going to hear the big dog bark and it's going to wag the tail or not as it sees fit. The tail is not going to wag the dog. And here we have Janet Yellen. She's being called in to take over. I think it's at a time when Bernanke realizes we are getting close to perhaps a crash. And he doesn't want to be the one held responsible for it. And she's the one who's volunteered to take the helm. She's going to take control of the ship at a time when a crash is at least
Nobody else wanted the job.
Oh, that's what usually happens. I mean, it's like when Golda Meir was
how smart is she?
Prime Minister, whatever, over in Israel. What happens, it's really bizarre sometimes. You see women rise to power, significant power, at times when things are so screwed up that none of the men want the job. Huh? It's usually a signal, to my mind, when they're going to put a woman in charge, it's going to be, uh-oh. Right? It's like you're going to, wait, we want one of you ladies to come up and pilot the plane. Pilots, it's time to get your, fasten your lap strap or get your parachute or whatever. And I'm exaggerating to make a point here, but just the same.
Most women.
There is, no, to some degree, it's crossed my mind in the past. When you see a woman taking over a major government, a major corporation, often happens in the context of great uncertainty about what's going on. And sometimes women do spectacular jobs and they pull everything out of the fire, and sometimes not. That's just life, but it's not necessarily a sign of, ooh, we've got equal rights or some damn thing.
No,
hooray. Come a long way, baby. It may be that you're the designated fall guy. But that's going to be hard to pin on this Janet Yellen. She's no dummy. All right, and I think she's, judging from the article from Ambrose Pritchett, she's strong. She's not going to take, crap from anybody, including Obama. So who's going to pull her strings? I'm not sure. We'll watch and see. We'll learn more as this unfolds, but it's going to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to the change. I don't know if there'll be a lot of change, in fact, but there will at least be a possibility of change when she takes over the Federal Reserve. So what else we got, Melody?
Well, I think we ought to, if the listeners want to tell us, do you believe she's just part of the same system, there won't be any changes at all, or do you believe she's an independent thinker and she'll do what she thinks is right? So which part is she going to follow? Al, you're the side that she's strong, independent, and will be her own person.
I mean, she's going to have to be more than strong, intelligent, and independent. She's going to have to be blessed or just extraordinarily lucky, because she's going to have to continue to print more money because it's the only chance they've got.
Absolutely.
All they can do right now is buy time by printing more fiat money. What other option does she have? What can she do? This is the point. Their notion, the tail is going to wag the dog. In this analogy, the dog is the overall tangible physical economy, and they're betting that by just handling these worthless pieces of paper, we'll print more worthless pieces of paper, and that'll be the tail that wags the dog. I don't think it's going to work like that. They've succeeded in doing so in the past, but I think they're coming to the end of that line. People don't believe in the tail wagging the dog anymore, and there is a physical reality that can't be escaped. My point is, I don't think she has an option other than to try to inject money into the economy, print more money and inject it into the economy. She may do so in a more intelligent manner than Ben Bernanke has done it. That may happen, but I don't think she's got another option. What else can she do?
Well, if she continues to do what Ben Bernanke's doing, then they really aren't changing the head of the Federal Reserve. They're just changing faces.
Yeah, I get
it. And you're right. They have to keep buying the bonds. There's no other, unless they create some other ways in order to inject the money into the system.
Buy the bonds and buy the mortgage-backed securities. That's what they're doing.
Exactly.
About half and half of the $85 billion, about half goes into mortgage-backed securities and half goes into fresh bonds. It's all they can do right now, and how long can they continue? And it hasn't worked that well in the last 4 or 5 years. There's been an attempt. Quantitative easing has prevented us perhaps from going into a depression, but it has only postponed the recession. Hasn't stopped things. We're still where we were 2008, more or less.
Yep.
And, we're still facing some serious problems. One of which is Frank playing the piano again. He's signaling he wants me to stop talking and break for some commercials. See, that's the producer's business. He thinks commercials are more important than the content of the program. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back with content in just a couple of minutes. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Melody has a special today.
Yeah, we do. I'm doing something a little bit different today, and this coin really isn't for the beginner that's looking just to start coming into the market. I believe when you're purchasing gold and silver, you build a foundation first. You build that foundation, then you can speculate. This is a low mintage 1889 $3 gold piece that is certified by NGC, and it is a mint state 65. I do have a $3 gold piece, but it's not a mint state 65. But it's a very beautiful coin. These were on several years ago. I mean, you could buy a mint state 63 $3 gold piece almost as the same price as this piece today that I have to offer. This is the last year of issue. And it's a very popular $3 gold series. The surfaces has a very nice satiny luster. The patina on the obverse side is very attractive. It's a beautiful coin. Even in this age of nearly instant and widespread information, it really is easy to lose sight of how scarce some of these coins really are. Only 2,300 business strikes were produced. And by today's production standards, that really makes this coin very rare. So again, if you have if you already have your gold and silver portfolio and you're looking to add to it, this coin does sell for $15,995, and that's almost at the wholesale price. You're paying very little. Most of my competitors would probably sell this coin for probably close to $20,000. So it's a very good price. I'm barely charging anything over wholesale, so it's a great time to be picking it up, and you can call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You can email us, questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com.
No, if I understood correctly, did you say that they only struck about 2,700 of these coins originally?
2,300.
2,300.
Were produced, yes.
How many do you suppose are still in existence?
Oh, I don't have that record, but in a mint state 65 condition.
Very few then. You're talking perhaps a couple hundred tops.
Probably.
Yeah.
They were very popular. They, the same time, probably like I mentioned, a couple, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago, they were so popular you couldn't even find them. Even circulated ones that were certified, you couldn't find. And I actually picked up a circulated one because it was the only one that was available. And so they're very desirable. They're very hot, and they do very well. So they really maintain their value. And so even, I mean, if you can buy it at a couple hundred dollars over wholesale, who wouldn't?
Well, if you have the money for it, yeah, that's the point. And in theory, I don't know if anybody wants to do that, but in theory, it's like anything else, you could buy it cheap. And if it can be sold at a better price at auction.
Absolutely.
Yada yada.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a steal.
Okay, folks. 15.
And there's only one.
Only one.
I only have
one. So that's pretty much a first come, first serve deal then, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah. All right. What else we got, Melody?
Oh.
Let's talk about China.
China.
Yeah, China.
Also.
It's just here's an article from Bill Holter again. He's talking about China's come out very strong terms, told the U.S. to get its financial house in order. Now it's in public. Their warning was straightforward as compared to previous warnings that were generally of read between the lines, that type. They hold $1.3 trillion worth of U.S. treasuries and well over $3 trillion in dollar-denominated assets. No matter what anyone says, China now has the ability to pull our strings in Washington. Holder says, I believe that they certainly will pull our strings and pull the plug on this whole Ponzi scheme on the very day that they're told there is no more gold left. Now, he's anticipating, Holder believes, that the federal government has dissipated much or most, perhaps even all of the gold that has been previously stored at Fort Knox, for example. He thinks most of it's gone. And even if it's not all gone, there may be a time when people are going, and government are simply going to say, we're not redeeming, we're not going to give you any gold, we're not selling any more of our gold. And there's suspicion that they have been selling it, and the suspicion goes to the idea China has been buying gold, and as long as they can take dollars and trade them off for cheap gold, China is happy. It may even, if you are a conspiracy theory buff, you might even suspect that the reason the price of gold is so low is as an accommodation to China, to allow China to purchase gold at a very low price. And in theory, China may have been saying, you better get the price of gold down, or we're going to dump all these treasuries we've got, and your whole thing, your whole little scheme is going to collapse. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but I'm saying it's a plausible conspiracy theory, and that's as far as I'm going to go with that. But I think Holter's right when he says, at the moment when our government admits there's no more gold left, maybe in the markets, maybe even from the government itself, at that point in time, we may see some dramatic changes coming out of China. This event could come to light any moment, as London has already bled over 1,300 tons of gold this year alone. GLD is well over 500 tons gone, and COMEX now has more than 50% of standees in October for the dealer's remaining inventory. December is a whole other story, goes on with the problems we've got. More gold has been promised and is available to make good on the futures contracts. So part of his final paragraph says, China has accumulated the gold, and we have accumulated the debt. All right? And this is a point we've tried to illustrate on this program on a regular basis. Your Federal Reserve notes, the paper currency in your wallet, is a debt instrument. It's not an asset. We have been deceived into believing that paper is wealth, and all it is a promise to pay. It's not a payment. All of your paper debt instruments, including stocks and bonds and paper dollars and digital dollars, these are nothing but promises to pay. They are not payments. Gold is a payment. China understands this concept. And therefore, China is trying to be paid for the work it's done. It's trying to change its promises to pay U.S. dollars into payments, which are gold. And in my opinion, it's nothing more than a prudent and intelligent strategy. And it's not a brilliant strategy. It's not a genius strategy. It's just people who are looking and say, well, here's the common sense of it. In the final analysis, would you rather put your faith in a promise to pay, a piece of paper, or in a payment that you actually have and hold in your hand? If I were to give each of you, Melody can put on a sale, and we will include a free $100,000 promise to pay, all right, signed by me for everybody who buys a coin. Well, how many of you, what is that $100,000 promise to pay going to be worth? Do you want that? Is that sufficient reason to buy the gold coin because you get a free promise to pay to go along with it? The point I'm trying to illustrate is, in the end, the gold is what has value. And the promises to pay, the paper promises to pay, do not. China understands that, and China has been governing itself accordingly. They are collecting gold. They are collecting assets. And most Americans are collecting debt. That's what the Federal Reserve notes are. And people just don't get that. It's not a sensible course of action. In the end, it's going to lead to trouble for the people that are holding that paper. They're going to wish they weren't.
Well, you know, it goes to show people don't get it. I mean, we talk about this day in and day out, there was a poll taken, and it shows that 62% blame the Republicans for the shutdown. They're not blaming the problems that we have. They're not blaming what our debt is and the whole overall system. Yeah. They're not blaming anything.
Exactly.
And so to me, and when you hear all these interviews and you watch these people get paraded on all these interviews on the mainstream media, It's all about politics. It's all about the Republicans versus the Democrats versus Obama versus none of them address the problems.
That's exactly what I'm talking about in the previous, talking about Janet Yellen and the idea that we've got the tail wagging the dog. Most of the American people are so used to seeing the tail wag the dog, they get upset about when the tail is not doing its job. They don't get it. It's not up to the Republicans to run the country, destroy the country, nor is it up to the Democrats, nor should it be. There is a real reality out here. And the reality is a huge unemployment, and it goes to two things that I can see. One, we shipped a lot of our jobs overseas over the last decade or 15 years. And two, we have invited illegal aliens to come in and compete for the remaining jobs. The result has to be significant unemployment. Huh? And we're going to point a finger at the Republicans. And are we going to point a finger at the Democrats? All we're doing is pointing a finger at the tail and blaming the tail for wagging the dog. We are caught in the illusion that the government has created and the illusion that the Federal Reserve has created. We believe the tail can wag the dog. I'm here telling you, I know it appears to have done so for some period of time, but I don't think it can continue indefinitely.
You know, most Americans disapprove the poll. Said 53% were unhappy with his performance, 37% approving it. It finally dropped below 40. But here's a guy, he should have been impeached. I mean, with all the scandals that are going on, you can't even keep up with all the scandals.
Yeah, I know.
And it also makes me wonder if this whole situation is just to avoid the discussions of all the scandals. It just kind of throws all the scandals underneath the rug. And you just can't even keep track of it. I mean, my gosh. You can count them on two hands. Huh?
We had a cartoon that I published on my blog back a couple of weeks ago, 10 days, 2 weeks ago. I don't remember exactly. But it's a two photographs side by side, one of Richard Nixon, one of Barack Obama. Nixon is saying, I bugged two buildings and I got impeached. And the other one on Obama says, I bugged the whole country and I got loved. You know, the world has changed. He's right. Big deal. Nixon bugged the Watergate. And he had a couple of wiretaps into a couple of offices in a building. He was impeached and thrown out of office. Here we have Obama wiretapping the whole country, and he's not the first one to do it, but he's doing it.
We've got the IRS, we got Benghazi, we got Fast and Furious. Here we went to war because of Al-Qaeda, and now we're sending money over to the rebels that have been infiltrated by Al-Qaeda, where they say about 50% of them are Al-Qaeda, and we're funneling them money.
And why would we do that?
We went to war for that.
Why would we do that?
Jeez.
Why would we funnel money to the Al-Qaeda? And the answer is we need a boogeyman. The government needs a credible boogeyman. Right? If Al-Qaeda loses, if Al-Qaeda is losing power and influence, and the perception is they can't actually resist the Syrian government, they are too weak. If that's allowed to go through, who's the boogeyman? Where are we going to find the terrorists that the government needs in order to justify a growing police state? You got to have some enemies out there, and if there aren't any, you got to make some. And government, in my opinion, this is one possible explanation for why government is sending money to Al-Qaeda, who incidentally was implicated as being, according to government, they were the principal cause behind the attack on 9/11, knocked down two the world towers and hit the Pentagon, crashed another airplane into the ground. Supposedly, that was the result of Al-Qaeda. And here we are. Now the government, 12 years later, government is funding the same organization and the people associated with the same organization that they claimed was responsible for the 9/11 attacks in 2001. You know, you look at this, you just shake your head, you wince, you laugh, you roll your eyes. That all we can do? And the answer is no. And we're going to talk more about that when we get into the next segment. We'll take some more commercial announcements here in a moment.
There's things we can do. I mean, there's how many Christians are being slaughtered over there that no one talks about?
Yeah.
That area over there is about ready to just blow up. I mean, this guy, he even gets elected, not even a citizen. I mean, with no proof of being born. I mean, it really is amazing how people in this country, we have that, how I don't want to call anybody stupid, but.
Well, you can.
They're stupid. They're just so uninformed, and you can't
And it's not necessarily, and we can talk about that when we get back here a little bit. There's a study that indicates the average American is much less informed. They're dumber than most people, than they compared 10 or 20 nations, and we came out in the bottom half in terms of our knowledge of how to use tools and mathematics and English and so on. We've got a problem here. Is that just because of the schools? Is it because sophisticated jobs have moved overseas? We'll discuss that issue when we return in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. And as we said, we're going to talk about a couple of things, two principal points, one of which is more evidence. We're talking in part about what can we do? Are things hopeless? We've got some guy in the White House that a lot of people believe isn't even eligible to run for the presidency, let alone be elected. Right? There is a strong opinion that Obama was born in a foreign country and therefore not eligible. We all understand that. You may believe it, you may not believe it, but a lot of people do. And insofar as that belief is even allowed, I guarantee you, if there were people out here who said, oh, Al, you're not really an American citizen, you weren't born in this country, I guarantee you right now it would take me about 3 minutes to produce adequate evidence of where I was born that would stand up in court. And the Obama issue has been going on for 5 years now anyway. And we have yet to see evidence that will stand up in court. All he's got to do is say, yeah, of course I'm an American citizen. Here's where I'm born. The evidence doesn't seem to be legitimate. How did that happen? How did we get to that? If we look at the problems that we are facing in this country, and some of them seems they're not just difficult. They're not just big. They are odd. They are strange. There are some people who believe that what we're looking at is evidence that God has finally turned his back on this country. He's had enough. I mean, how do you really explain Barack Obama, if he was born in Kenya, how do you explain him in the White House except as a judgment from God? It goes beyond what you can expect from ordinary men and women. It's not just a conventional conspiracy theory. It's a spiritual conspiracy theory. I'm not saying that it's true, but I'm saying there are people who believe that, who embrace that idea. And I'm certainly inclined in that direction myself. Now, here's an article. What can we do about it? Is this hopeless? We talked about this last week. Pointed out that, in fact, when Nancy Pelosi said what we're really doing in Washington right now, it's not a debate about whether we are going to have Obamacare or whether we're going to have a government shutdown. She says what it's really about is the extent of government. And I realized when I saw that, she's right, she's right, she's right. We are witnessing change. Remember, President Obama said he would bring us change you can believe in. We are getting that change right now, and it's completely contrary to what President Obama wanted. There's big change coming. Here's an article, America's Rapidly Approaching Its Date with Destiny, by Dave Hodges. He says the winds of change are blowing across America, and they mark dramatic shift in the relationship between the federal government and the people. We are at a definitive crossroads in history, and I can scarcely believe what I'm witnessing. In the past few days, it's become clear that we're moving into times of unprecedented change. And his evidence, he's pointing out, here's the Arizona state government weighing options to defy the Obama administration. Governor Brewer of Arizona is actually considering the state's National Guard demand the Grand Canyon in defiance of a federal order which shut down the park. Arizona is awaiting Brewer's next move as she contemplates how to stand up to the tyranny emanating from Washington. The governor of the state of Arizona is telling Obama, stick it. All right, we can move this thing. We can handle the situation without you. We can handle things despite you. Wisconsin governor defies Obama's shutdown order. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker said he's not closing federal land to visitors in a stunning defiance of the National Park Service's demand to close certain areas. Again, here we see the state governments, and we talked about it last week. Same idea. We are just seeing other people who agree with the opinion we're expressing then. They're catching on to it. There is a revolt, a revolution taking place in this country right now. It involves the Occupy Wall Street movement. It involves the Anonymous movement. It involves WikiLeaks. It certainly involves the Tea Party movement. We are seeing ordinary people and people in positions of power at the state level that are telling the federal government to buzz off. Maine governor refuses to drink from the federal Common Core Kool-Aid. Maine Governor Paul LePage recently signed an executive order in which the government declared that public schools in Maine are locally controlled, that students' personal information will not be shared with any corporations nor any federal agencies. He's standing up to the government, and he's not the only one. They have average citizens are getting into the act. We see more, and Vietnam veterans have defied the shutdown at the Vietnam Memorial. Another group of Americans engaged in defying federal government as World War II veterans. All right? America is finally beginning to stand up and say no to tyrants. A newfound level of civil disobedience is taking place right now. And it is big and it's growing. And I say, hooray! One of the great complaints a lot of people, and not just myself, but a lot of people that are listening to this program, we become discouraged, not merely by what we see, but by the apparent apathy of the American people. We understand there's problems here. And some of us are more sensitive to them than others, but some of us seem to be just completely insensitive and unwilling to even consider the problems. And therefore, there isn't going to be change, or so it seemed, because the average American was just, who cares? What time's the football game on? But what we're seeing is the average American does care. He's been a little bit slow to get up off the couch, but he's getting up off the couch. He may even turn off the football game. And there is resistance brewing. So there's something we can do. It's being done. It's taking place right now. There is no cause for to be disheartened. There is no cause to surrender. There's a growing movement against big government. This is Nancy Pelosi said this is about the extent of government, not about Obamacare, not about government shutdown. It's about the size of government. Just how intrusive can government be before we finally say we've had enough? And it's arguable. I can't say it's true. I can't even say it's wise. But it may well be that some people in this country would rather see a government shutdown, and perhaps even an economic collapse, if part of the result of that collapse was the federal government would learn to mind its own business. We'd all pay a heck of a price. It wouldn't be fun for any of us. But I wonder myself, do people in this country, do they begin to think, yeah, I know it'll be tough, I know it'll be difficult, I know it'll be dangerous, but maybe an economic collapse is worth it if we can restore some measure of liberty to this country. So, things are happening. There is change. Obama said he'd bring us change we can believe in. He may even, before he's done, he may even be bringing us change that we want. That would really be strange. But maybe it's going to happen. So, what was the other thing we were going to talk about, Melody? America's not that bright anymore?
We were talking.
Yeah, that was the second topic we're going to try to touch on.
That is correct.
Yeah, here's the U.S. adults are dumber than average. This is an article from New York Post. Washington, it's long been known that America's school kids haven't measured well compared with international peers. Now there's a new twist. Adults don't either. In math, reading, and problem solving using technology, all skills considered critical for global competitiveness and economic strength. American adults scored below the international average on a global test, according to results released Tuesday. Adults in Japan, Canada, Australia, Finland, and multiple other countries scored significantly higher than the United States in all three areas on the test. Beyond basic reading and math, respondents were tested on activities such as calculating mileage reimbursement due to a salesman, sorting email, and comparing food expiration dates on grocery store tags. Not only did Americans score poorly compared to many international competitors, the findings reinforce just how large the gap is between the nation's high and low-skilled workers and how hard it is to move ahead when your parents haven't. The article continues. I won't read any more from it, but the point is we have been dumbed down. As a people, we have been dumbed down. And they are alleging that part of the reason for that is because American education sucks. Right? We have gone, in my lifetime, back when I was a kid, this was the best, we had the best education system in the world. And now the last I heard, we're rated something like number 17. And the solution, every time we hear about a solution, we have some jackass come up and he's going to solve the education problem and he's going to do it. All we need is more money for teachers and administrators and more money will solve the problem. In the same way that the Federal Reserve has argued that all they have to do to cure our economic problems is they'll just print more money. It's simple. Why didn't I think of that? We'll just print more fiat currency. It's intrinsically worthless, but who cares? We'll fool all the dummies out there in TV land into believing that these green pieces of paper have value. And that'll solve the problem. It's the same thing that we are seeing to some degree with American education. We are going to worry about self-esteem. We're going to make sure that kids, they might not get the right, it's not important whether they get the right answer on tests. It's important whether they feel good about themselves. The subjectivity, the subjective feeling associated with education is more important than the actual tangible, physical education. What do you know? What do you not know? Not about what you feel. That's part of it. The point I wanted to get to is this. Part of the reason U.S. adults may be dumber than average as compared to these other nations is in part because maybe we haven't needed the kind of knowledge they're testing for on this test. Maybe we haven't needed that knowledge, not simply because we have computers to do our thinking for us, but because we've walked away. The government has shipped important jobs overseas. And as a result, the average man he no longer has a reason to know how to do some of these things, because he no longer has his job is service work rather than actual production, where he has to watch some gauges and calculate temperatures and pressures and so on in order to decide how do we run this machine the most effectively. If we don't use it, we're going to lose it. That's not just about the jobs going overseas. It's about the knowledge that it takes to run the associated equipment. I'm going to argue, at least in part, the reason adults are testing dumber in this country than they are in other countries is because, in part, some of our most important jobs have been shipped overseas. How much do you need to know to be a greeter at Walmart? How much do you need to know to stack shelves? The industrial jobs required a higher level of understanding, even from lower-paid workers. And because of that, we had to know more, and we did. Without those jobs, we don't need to know as much, so we don't. Don't need that education, don't need that knowledge. So, what do you think, Melody? Do you suppose that moving jobs offshore or outsourcing jobs could be part of the reason Americans are showing up dumber than average?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And then you have to look, how do these folks teach their children? I mean, the schools you talked about, the education system. I mean, sure, we have people from all over the world coming to some of our colleges. But, I mean, as far as they're just schools, well, I don't believe the schools were actually designed to teach. I think they were designed to mold. But
I agree. They're designed to indoctrinate.
Yes.
And they're being run by people who really don't know or care about education. I mean, I don't have an objection to teachers. I'm not holding them up as heroes because I don't think they've done a good job. And they are on the front lines. They have to understand that the system isn't working and it's degenerated from number one to number 17 in my lifetime. Teachers have a measure of responsibility on this. But if we could get the administrators out of the program, we'd be much better off. Let the teachers teach and keep the administrators off their backs. And most importantly, get the federal government out of education. They're the ones that are setting these idiotic standards that cause teachers to teach to the test rather than teaching children how to think. We're teaching them how to memorize. We're teaching them how to regurgitate without real understanding. We're teaching them how to count the dots. We're teaching them how to memorize the dots, but we are not teaching them how to spot the connections between the dots. And the result will not bode well for us over the near future. We're going to have to restore some measure of genuine intelligence and knowledge and education to the American people. And the government's not going to do it. Who will do it, Melody? Homeschoolers.
Yes.
It's up to us to educate ourselves, point one, and it's up to parents. If you want your child educated, homeschooling is a good choice.
And they make it more and more difficult.
Yeah, I know. They don't want it.
They don't want it. They make it more. They put more
Same thing, like they don't want gold. They don't want gold for the same reason. It shows how valueless the currency is. They don't want homeschooling because it shows how valueless public education is in this country. Same thing. We're out of time, Melody. I want to thank all of you folks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In a rich man's world. money.